And it's been a few weeks since I've talked to Stephen Tilton. But first off, Stephen Tilton, always happy to have you here on the show. Love your open for your segment or a couple of segments. Happy New Year, man. How was your New Year? How'd you ring it in?
It was great. I rang it in with my immediate family and had a very, very nice dinner together. And it just was great. The holidays were good this year. It's always good to spend it with family. How was your New Year's?
It was low-key. I didn't do anything. New Year's Eve, I was right here. So after the show, went home, didn't do it. I don't go out on New Year's Eve. I just don't do it. Like it's amateur hour.
It is amateur.
It's the amateur hour, and we hear way too often about these situations and incidents where tragically people lose their lives because of the drinking and driving.
Correct.
And well, even the day before, there was. Did you hear about the couple in St. Louis Park?
No.
That were injured walking, and the woman, she was 51, died.
What?
Yeah, it's unbelievable, man. Some younger guy, I think he was like 30, whatever. He's driving, and he had been drinking and driving, and hit both, and the woman dies.
Man, that's tragic. Yeah, Where in St. Louis Park? I used to live in St. Louis Park.
I can't remember the exact street.
Did we ever find out what happened? Speaking of that, with the Park Tavern, remember the guy in the parking lot drove in their Park Tavern and hit like six people?
We haven't got to the bottom of it. We haven't had the trial yet, have we? Do we have all the stuff there with that?
I don't think so. I don't think there's been anything. I think the person was just like released to a sober living house, and I think that's the last I heard of it.
Really?
Yeah, we don't have any finality with all of that though.
Okay.
With the Park Tavern case.
That was one of those just weird, and of course there's been a huge rash of them even this last week, but that was one of the really weird ones, right? I've been in the Park Tavern and
I love the Park Tavern.
Yeah, Park Tavern is great.
Yeah, it's insane. But I'm one of those that I typically, if I'm not at work, I'm just going to sit at home. I'll watch some sports, whatever sport is on. Typically, there's a bowl game that's on, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And so that was pretty much it again. And then yesterday I had off. I typically work New Year's Day. I had yesterday off. Now we're back.
Speaking of bowl games, are you ready to admit that the college football, expanded college football playoffs is pretty fun?
No.
Really?
No, I'm still not ready.
Even the last 2 days, the game today, the game yesterday.
I'm gonna tell you why. I don't think that the bowls have been that exciting, that have been a part of the college football playoffs. So, the majority of these games have been blowouts.
The first round was definitely horrible. Agree with you. I was literally ready to come here and eat crow, and now the last two games, that Arizona State Texas game.
That was great. That was a great game.
And
you can't sit there and say the Ohio State Oregon was a good game. That was not a good game.
It is, but it's a classic playoff upset, right? We don't see that upset.
Ohio State was favored.
No, Ohio State was an 8.
Ohio State was favored by 2.5 by Vegas.
Really?
Yes.
So the 8 seed was favored.
Yes. After losing to them by a point in the regular season.
How about today's game? Today's game was another pretty good game. Notre Dame,
It was okay. The Texas-Arizona State has kind of saved this round. I've not been that impressed with the games. I'm just being honest with you. Like you mentioned, there were blowouts in the opening rounds.
Opening round was bad.
This round of games, meh. I think that the semifinals, though, will be good games.
I don't know. I thought the Arizona State game was exceptional.
That was it. That was the one.
Okay. Well, and here's what I like, and this is very similar to my experience at, March Madness, is that I don't have enough time to follow college basketball fastidiously and know all of the players.
You don't care enough.
I do. I do care enough. I do have to practice law. As much as I love coming on your show and talking sports and all that, it's unfortunately I need to keep my day job. But like with the March Madness, I learned about players and stories, right? You learned about that Arizona State running back. I mean, what a stud. And watching him play yesterday through the cramps and all that
Camp
was
Shadow.
Incredible, right? And even the Notre Dame quarterback today. I mean, I think we get to follow them. The games aren't over. I'll tell you one thing that I have a problem with, and the NCAA is going to have to figure this out. All of the, the fact that they got to enter the transfer portal sometimes before these games, the fact that you know.
Which that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It makes zero sense.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if the professionals are professionals, the contract should extend through the season, which they are. You and I have been saying that even before they can get paid. And, you know, the whole issue with, you know, them declaring for the draft while they're still playing. And, I mean, frankly, Colorado did the right thing by ensuring their players so they could play. I mean, the playoffs aren't fun if the best players aren't going to be playing in it. That being said, I think this is going to be great. I think a 12-team playoff is the right amount, and I'm getting more and more excited each round. Personally, I am.
All right, let me throw something at you. This is something in the legal realm with the NCAA. Florida State players suing Leonard Hamilton with regards to NIL. So a little bit of background for you. Leonard Hamilton is the he's a terrific coach for Florida State. He's been at Florida State for I don't know how many years. He's made that a really successful college basketball program. Okay, Leonard Hamilton has sent so many of those guys to the NBA. Well, Leonard Hamilton is being sued by, I think it's six players. Yes, six former players are suing their old coach for, quote, unfulfilled promises. And essentially, these guys said that they were going to get NIL money that was promised to them that they never received. Their lawyer in the suit is your friend, Darren Heitner.
Darren Heitner. Yeah. No, I've known Darren forever. He's kind of become kind of an NIL kind of a guru, right?
Well, this is what he said on social media. My primary goal with this lawsuit is to obtain relief for several FSU basketball players who relied on promises from their head coach. Additionally, I hope this action causes everyone in the NIL space to think twice before taking advantage of athletes.
Listen, I like Darren, and Darren's an incredibly savvy social media guy.
I think I met him once here years ago.
Yeah, through me.
And, well, he was here for one of the Jack Brewer things, I think.
Right, yes. Yep. Yeah, for the sports law seminar that I put on.
Yep.
And I mean, listen, Darren's great. I mean, and again, he's very smart, and he took the lead in NIL. I think he actually was an advisor and helped wrote the Florida legislation. I haven't looked at that lawsuit. I would say this. I don't know why he named the coach. The coach may have the authority to bind Florida State, the athletic department in general, but the coach isn't offering to pay these players anything.
Yeah, the coach is not cutting checks.
No.
So I don't know how this is going to work.
Yeah, that's kind of a you know, a bit of Darren trying to
I want to get your, let me read a little bit more and get your counter perspective on it. There's a question in an article about this that says, absent having signed deals, can the six former players win their suit against Hamilton? This is from Mitch Gilfillan. He's an Illinois-based attorney who knows the space well. He says, quote, there are legitimate questions regarding an NIL representative, coaching staff member, or university staff member's oral promise to pay NIL to secure a commitment. In some cases, an oral contract may be deemed a valid contract if certain conditions are met. Whether there was a meeting of the minds on the NIL terms for the FSU basketball players will likely have to work itself out through discovery by sworn deposition testimony. However, six players allegedly hearing the same story and promised to pay could be difficult to overcome.
Listen, it's a fallacy that all contracts have to be in writing to be enforceable. An oral contract can be enforceable. The issue, at least from what you've told me so far, isn't whether they might have some rights to NIL money. The question is, who would owe that money? And that would be Florida State. It would not be the coach. I mean, the coaches can make promises on behalf of the athletic department, but the coaches themselves aren't cutting checks and can't be held liable for that. You know, it's whether that coach had the authority to bind the athletic department, which is an interesting, tricky question. Frankly, it's somewhat you know, something they're going to have to work out. I mean, until the colleges just kind of give up the ghost, mm-hmm. and be like, listen, we're a professional organization, right? We are paying these athletes to perform on the field. You're going to have these weird type of legal vagaries. It's got to change. And the NCAA, frankly, has got to get on top of this to avoid these kind of weird lawsuits.
All right, 651-461-9226. Let's take a quick break. Want to come back, get to some other sports items. But I do want to ask more about the transfer portal, because something that Steve just said here earlier in this segment, it really does bug me about this transfer portal, of when guys are doing it. But also, has the transfer portal actually worked out in a good way? The good way, I'll explain next year on the Lake Show. All right, one can make the case, Stephen Silton from Colson O'Connor Law, that NIL has actually helped out, even out, college sports in this way. If you look at the way things have shaken out with the college football playoff and these bowl games, Alabama, bam, Roll Tide. They ain't dominate. They lost to Michigan. Georgia, they lost today to Notre Dame. My point is this. I heard some commentary earlier where people complaining about NIL. The people complaining about NIL are the ones that actually just don't want to do the dirty work and get their hands dirty. They just want to be back in the day. It's all about Alabama. It's all about Duke in basketball. It's all about all of these. It's opened it up for a lot of other schools. Other schools are getting big-time guys because they're saying, you know what? Oh, it's about money. We can get some money and get in the game. Like BYU ends up with the number one player in high school basketball right now. That's going to be the number one pick next year, allegedly. So, look, this is my official statement on NIL. I've always been somebody that supports NIL. I'm always going to be somebody that supports people getting paid. We go to college to get money. These guys should be getting money because they're generating billions upon billions of dollars. They should now and always should have been getting a cut of the money, of the proceeds. Where I have a little bit of an issue, though, is how the transfer portal works and that guys are going to like 3 and 4 institutions. That's not fun for me. That takes the fun out. Look, I'm all for a guy. If a guy is at a place after a year or two and it doesn't pan out, he says, you know what, man, I'm going to move on somewhere else. I'm good with that. But every single year you have a yearly individual contract. Oh, well, you know what? I'm at Florida State this year. Oh, next year I'm going to Auburn. Oh, this year I'm going to Michigan. Oh, this year I'm going to go to – and then I'm going to file for an extension, try to get maybe another year. I'm not for that. I don't like that. I just don't – I'm anti that.
Well, there's two issues there. Number one, what you're seeing with the SEC, in my opinion, is these isolated rural schools in the South that have been paying players for decades are no longer the only ones who are paying players. 100%. Right? Alabama had Jimmy Sexton, had his own office, had an agency set up in his office to essentially funnel money to the players. No one was going to question that in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. It was the only thing they had. Now every school
the
gets
to. The days of the $100 handshakes mean nothing.
Are over. They don't matter anymore. You can pay them out in the open. It's no big deal.
Yep.
I couldn't agree with you more in the NIL. And frankly, the NIL is kind of the transfer portal. Sorry. That is a concept that was incredibly valuable when the players couldn't get paid. Mm-hmm. But now if they're entering into NIL contracts, or eventually they're just going to enter into, you know, salaries to play, why shouldn't they be multi-year deals? And if a player wants to leave, he frankly has to negotiate himself out of that deal. It really isn't a good thing to see with these players. Well, they're, you know, this player was transferring to Duke or Michigan, but you know what? They'll stay around and play. It's weird. And I think it's taken away from some of these really meaningful bowl games. So I think the transfer portal is going to have to get modified. And I think, frankly, you know, when we talked about this before, at some point, there's going to have to be some kind of union that frankly is going to negotiate the rules with the major conferences.
Don't you think also there should be a rule in there, and this is just me, that there should be a cap on how many schools you can play at? But I just don't – I don't think that if you have 4 or 5 years of eligibility, that means you could play at 4 or 5 different schools. I think that they should cap it.
I mean, maybe all that stuff could be subject to negotiation, right? I mean,
it takes a lot of fun out of athletics, man.
I don't know.
For me, at least.
I don't know if it really
– Yeah.
I mean, frankly, I think the timing of the transfer portal is weird, and that obviously is going to get modified probably next year. But I don't know if it matters that much that the, you know, that the right guard is actually a, you know, four-time transfer, right? I mean, I don't know if that necessarily is going to matter. I mean, I do think it's weird when these kind of premium players, right, the, you know, some of these quarterbacks kind of started at one school and wind up going to the other. But frankly, that's always been happening. What, Troy Aikman, right, started
– Yeah, but to me, I'm fine with that. Oklahoma, UCLA.
UCLA, yep.
That's fine. It's the same way that Jalen Hurts did he did Alabama, Oklahoma.
Correct.
Two schools, that makes all the sense in the world. And if you want to all the way kind of push it, maybe push it if a guy's at school for 4 years, three, that's pushing it. But I can hear it, okay, in certain situations. But guys wanting to bolt every single year because of a dollar? Mm.
I mean, the question's really also going to become, which is some of these players are working through Division III schools, right, in order to maybe get a chance for 1 or 2 years at a Division I school with no aspirations to play professionally, right? Like, you see,
I'm fine with that, though. That's different than a guy coming in D1 and then – he's moving around D1 for 4 years. I mean, a guy that's going up the ladder, I'm fine with that.
I mean, those are going to be some interesting stories. You're going to have some guys in football and basketball, right, that are really going to, you know, who weren't ready when they joined. Maybe they started at a Division III program, who are able to get good enough to maybe make money 1 or 2 years as a Division I player. The rules have changed. It doesn't necessarily mean some of the new rules won't be fun. We're seeing what works and don't work. I think the transfer portal is antiquated. When you're paying players, right, you should be able to contract with them to play for your team for a period of time. That is a fair quid pro quo, right? It wasn't fair when they essentially owned the rights to these kids, could control when they could leave their school, could mm-hmm. lock them up even though they weren't playing them. I mean, some of those rules were so evil, right? I mean, just evil. You got to call it what it was, that you know, the transfer portal actually helped that. At least they had some free agency even if they weren't going to get paid. Now you're getting paid. Listen, if a school wants to pay someone $1.5 million a year to sit on a bench, right, you know, it's not the end of the world for that.
All right, so
player.
Let me throw this up. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure you probably know what the range is. You have to be exact. But what would you say is the range for a National Football League general manager pay?
National Football League general manager.
NFL GM, yeah.
Probably more than I think. It's got to be millions and millions.
Well, yeah, we know
dollars.
It's millions, but. Yeah,
probably $5 to $10 million.
You think a GM, no. You think Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah, the range in which he's making a year is 5 to 10? That sounds high.
I bet he's making more than $5 million a year. I mean, it's public record. Why don't we Google that? Chris, you want to Google that while we're
– Well, all right. So really?
But my guess is Kwesi's one of the bottom five paid GMs in the league.
I was trying to look it up earlier. I really couldn't – I didn't extensively look, but I did a quick search. I didn't see anything right at the top. But – him and Kevin O'Connell are up for, I mean, they got to start negotiating contracts.
Correct. And what does Kevin O'Connell make right now? What, he makes $10 million right now, I think.
Well, Kwesi, he signed a four-year deal for mm-hmm. $12 million. So he's making $3 million a year.
Yeah, and, right, and my, so guess, is, my okay. guess is he's on the lower end yep. of the GMs, right? This yep. was his first job. He kind of came out of hasn't been doing it for a while, was a bit of a reach. But my guess is
Kevin O'Connell's making $5 million.
Well, he's going to get more.
No, he's going to get a massive raise.
He's going to get a massive.
Would it be safe to say that the Minnesota Vikings as an organization, because they have to do them both at the same time, because they came in together, you got to line up their contracts together. That Kevin O'Connell goes from 5 to 10, and Kwesi goes from like 3 to like 7.
I don't know if you've got to deal with them together. I think they're two very different entities. Certainly, I think Kevin O'Connell has proven himself more than Kwesi has.
Yeah, but what
has.
System would it make to not do them both at the same time?
I think you might. I just don't think it's a necessity is where I'm
You can't have a lame duck GM.
I don't.
You can't have a lame duck. And you're not going to have a lame duck coach coming off of a 14-win season.
Yeah, I mean, after his first season where he wins 13 wins, I mean, he is establishing himself.
He's been unbelievable.
Yeah, he's establishing himself as a truly unique talent in this league. I actually flew on a plane with him back from the Masters, Augusta, Georgia, and one of the more laid back and unique and truly there's guys that have it, and it's hard to describe, right? He has it. There's not a scent, an inch of pretense or arrogance, but there is a level of confidence and certainty that is just infectious, even in a 3-hour plane ride. I mean, he talked a lot about his big coaching concept is failing forward, and it was fascinating to listen. He's going to get paid a ton of money. Kwesi's going to get paid more money. I mean, here's the deal, you know, and I try not to talk too much about the Vikings. I have such a close relationship and so many friends over there. He's got to prove himself in the draft. I mean, he's proven that he's been able to sign some of the most effective free agents, you know, that there is. But I don't, you know, his three drafts have been.
His drafts haven't been good, but he's going to get a contract this offseason. Every guy he grabbed in free agency this past year is in the Pro Bowl.
I know, it's crazy.
So that's going to get Kwesi off. Like, I've criticized him for his drafting, which has not been good. That's going to overshadow that. I mean, think about that. Van Ginkle, Darnold, like, all those guys are making a Jonathan Grenard. Every guy that he went after in free agency made the Pro Bowl this year.
And then
a couple years ago, when he drafted bad, that free agent period, they grabbed Byron Murphy Jr.
Right,
he made the Pro Bowl.
His free agent pickups. He definitely has an eye for kind of mid level players, but also, you know, it's not just O'Connell. I mean, getting Flores as a 2-year coach, and it's possible that he has to stay one more year. You know, he's in that coaching purgatory right now,
which is ridiculous.
But you know, this is not good. I'm somewhat glad because I would keep him as my defensive coordinator till the end of time. I mean, and he's such a good, you know, a clearly kind of yin to O'Connell's yang. I mean, he's just – you couldn't have two better coaches in the locker room. And what he's done with that defense has been, tremendous. I mean, it's – you know, I don't want to talk too much positives because just when, you know, as we are a lifetime Viking – you know, I've been a Viking fan since 1993. You were born here. I mean, we all know how this story has ended in our lifetime. And this feels different.
But are you scared?
Am I scared?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm scared.
Let's see. It's taken all the joy and fun away, man. You can't be scared, man.
Trust me, I'm getting plenty
of
joy.
Just open up your heart, man. Just let it happen, man.
Yeah,
just let it happen. Fall in love, baby. Fall in love.
I'm going to teach you and all of our listeners a little Yiddish. There's an expression called kinah hora, which actually says to scare away the evil eye. Whenever things are going really well, you know, you got to scare away the evil eye. Everybody, anytime they have really good thoughts, anytime you have a great thought, this is the year, this is going to happen. Say to yourself, kinah hora, scare away that evil eye, right?
Kinah hora?
Kinah.
Kinah.
K-I-N-A
mm-hmm.
space hora, H-O-R-A.
Kinah hora.
Kinah hora. Kinah hora. Scare away the evil eye.
It sounds like kinah hora.
Not that. It's kinah, kinah hora. Because, listen, it does feel different. And I'll tell you why it somewhat feels different. Yeah. This coach feels different. I mean, O'Connell has has kind of a non-Minnesota vibe to him. You know, this is.
But there's other things that are scaring us here at the last minute. Like, I think we're all pretty confident, but there's like little things like the kicker. All of a sudden, he's starting to miss kicks, and you know, that's a trigger for Minnesotans.
It is a trigger.
They're like, oh gosh, what's going on? He's been so good all year,
right? Well, and I don't know. I just, you know, it's like you just keep waiting for Darnold to go
regress.
Back, to yeah. regress. I mean, it's just
Cinderella.
I mean, it's just yeah. I mean, and every game he just keeps getting better. I mean, every game he, you know, we haven't had a quarterback who's won us games, right? He is winning us ball games single-handedly. Games that, frankly, we would have lost. Everyone would have been like, "Hey, it's okay. You know what? You lose a football game." Since Brett Favre, it's been 15 years, 2009, and I mean, I like Kirk as kind of a game manager, but he didn't, other than the Indianapolis game, name a handful of games that Kirk won for us, kind of being the.
I thought he played well in the New Orleans playoff game. the walk-off one with the Kyle Rudolph. Was it Kyle Rudolph that scored the touchdown, I think? I think it was Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, that was the one playoff game he won.
Yeah.
His whole career.
I got to give him that.
You got to give him that.
You got to give him that if you're going to give him a game. You got to give him that one.
I will tell you, and I don't think I don't even know if he's got a college degree from Michigan State. I would hire him as a lawyer tomorrow, the way he can negotiate a contract.
No, hire his agent. You probably know his agents.
I probably do. But listen, I mean, he's the one who, you know, who is driving that. I mean, it, without a doubt, what, $330 million worth of getting paid. Getting paid.
Yeah.
I mean, a second-round draft pick, right?
Got to love it, man.
So you're feeling good. You think we win? What do you think happens Sunday?
No, I think we win Sunday. Yeah, I think we win. And the only reason why I say that is because of what Matthew Collar, that covers the Vikings, said earlier in the show. Man, Detroit's defense is banged up. They can't stop anybody. Our defense is better than their defense. That's the only reason why I'm saying that.
Except they can
score.
They can take out our players with low hits. Dan Campbell is one of the cheapest coaches.
Let's not go bear.
I'm just saying.
Because T.J. Hockenson got hurt last year against it.
I understand, right? And I mean, it's I wouldn't put it past him. I think he's a guy who would do. We could see a bounty gate too. That is a bit of a concern. I don't think I think he is a narcissist in the best and the worst ways. I don't think he thinks that the general rules of the sport apply to him, which is why I think he can be so aggressive. But I do think he hunts, and I certainly have concerns about that, right? Yeah. Particularly the way Darnold sits in the pocket the way he does. So I would watch the late hits on Sunday. Those are the dreams that haunt me at night when I think about how fun this postseason could be. Yeah, it could be amazing.
Stephen Silton, Colson O'Connor, I appreciate you coming in the studio, man. We got a couple other things we got to get to before we're out of here at the top of the hour, but go back out there in the cold.
Oh, it's cold. It's cold.
I hate it.
Polar vortex.
Oh, my gosh. It's coming?
It's here.
It's here?
Yeah, it's here.
That's what we're dealing with?
Yeah, it's no fun. It's no fun.
All right, my man.